The Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 26. This is Passion Week, and we've already preached a few services ago. We preached out of Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. Thank God. And we preached about that a few services back and how the Lord blessed that. And then we preached this past Sunday morning here from the pulpit of Rogersville Baptist Temple. We preached upon the subject of Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry of our Savior into Jerusalem and all that played into that. And my, how the Lord really challenged us and stirred our heart about that. And then tonight, I want to go to the Garden of Gethsemane. I want us to take a trip to the Garden of Gethsemane tonight. And I'll tell you, we can rejoice at what Jesus did on Calvary. There's no doubt about that. There's no substitute, no replacement for what Jesus did for us on Calvary. But I want to tell you, there was a great battle fought and a great battle won in the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen. I want you to listen to that. I believe that Jesus Christ on the cross was not battling the devil. I believe on the cross of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, our sacrifice, our substitute, I believe that on the cross he wasn't dealing with the devil. He was underneath the judgment of God. He was underneath the wrath of God as he became sin for us. But I believe that it was in the Garden of Gethsemane that the battle raged between the Lord Jesus Christ and the powers of hell. There's no doubt about it. I believe with all of my heart that that the devil wanted Jesus to die in the garden. And Jesus even felt that he may. He knew that that was not his purpose, and he knew that he needed help. He needed to be strengthened. And I'll show you that in a little bit. Because he didn't come here to die in the garden. He didn't come here to die in the scourging, at the whipping post. He didn't come here to die at the hands of mobs. He came here to die on an old rugged cross. The Bible said, cursed is every man that hangeth upon the tree. Jesus had to go to Calvary, praise God. But I'm telling you, he waged a warfare in the garden and won a great victory right there and showed us how we can. But I want you to listen as we read the scripture. And if you got your Bible, you can follow along with us. And we're going to pick up in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, in verse number 36. The Bible said, then cometh Jesus with them. Note those two words. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. That's talking about Jesus now being sorrowful and very heavy. Now watch this. The Bible said, then said he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Listen now, Jesus is letting us see inside of him. The Bible said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So Jesus is speaking and he's showing us his heart. I want to tell you what Jesus went through in the Passion Week was not a cakewalk. Amen, that's right. Oh my, the Bible said here he let us see inside of his feelings and let us see inside of what he was experiencing on the inside when he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful. Listen to these words, even unto death. Why did he add those words? Even unto death. It felt like physically, he felt like that if he didn't get some help and relief and victory, that those sorrows and the anguish and the burden was so heavy upon him in that moment. And I remind us that he wasn't burdened for himself. He wasn't being battled against for himself. He had never done wrong and still has never. He was underneath what you and I are supposed to have been underneath. Hallelujah. And he said, even unto death, and I'll comment more on that in a little bit. Tarry ye here and watch with me. There's the second time that we see those two words, with me. Verse 39, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What could ye not watch with me? There it is. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Verse 41, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Verse 44, and he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same word. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. The Lord has been feeding my soul out of these verses in these last few days. And Lord's given me, I know, of at least three messages out of this passage. And in studying one of those messages, I came across the words, with me. And I couldn't read on. I could not read past it. Immediately my mind and my heart began to meditate upon those words, with me. I want you to know tonight that if you'll look back in verse number 36, then cometh Jesus with them, who are those that are identified here as them. Look at the last part of verse 35, all the disciples. When he's talking about the disciples in verse number 35, he's talking about the 12. When he comes into verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them. That's all 12 of them. He's coming into the garden of Gethsemane with all 12. Now watch what happens. He says to the 12, in verse number 36, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. So he's talking to the 12. Now look at verse 37. He took with him. So evidently after he told them to sit down, I'm going yonder to pray, he now calls Peter, James, and John to go with him yet a little further. Now, oh my goodness, listen. And he took with them Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then said he unto them, the three, Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. He's telling the three, watch with me. Not watch for me. Watch with me. Oh my goodness, I can't believe I've read over those two words over all these years and never seen it. Never. Thank God the Bible is alive. Amen. It is alive, praise God. You can read the same verse, same passage, and it's different. It's inexhaustible. So he's talking to the three now, fixing to face the greatest battle to that point in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he says to the three, watch, tarry ye here, and watch with me. And then the Bible said he went a little further, fell on his face and prayed, and we've already read that, verse number 40. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and he saith unto Peter, listen to what he said to Peter, what? Now remember, he just got through telling them about approximately an hour earlier. We know that because he said, could you not watch with me 1 hour? So we anticipate that there's likelihood that Jesus had been gone away and prayed an hour. He said, what? Could you not watch with me? He brought that out again. Could you not watch with me? Lord have mercy. Jesus is showing us in his wording here. I needed you. I ask you. I even put it in a command form. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Why did Jesus ask them that? He had confidence. Not only did he have confidence that they would. Now, I want to tell you what, Jesus needed them to do that. You say, oh no, Jesus don't need us. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane needed those disciples. And I'll tell you how you can know. I know I can't hear your response on the other side of the camera, but I want to ask you a question. Why were they there then? They weren't the ones that was in the battle. They weren't the ones that was taking on the powers of hell in that battle. No. It was Jesus. Why did he lead the 12 up to a certain point and then say to 9 of them, sit ye here? And then he takes Peter, James, and John on further toward where the prayer battle is going to happen. And he gives the command to them to tarry ye here and watch with me. Can I put that in Tennessee language? Jesus is saying to Peter and James and John, Jesus knowing what's fixing to take place. I need you. I need you with me. Can you get that? I don't know how I've overlooked that. I'm telling you, I guess I'm just reading and some of the what I would thought the bigger points had so captivated my attention that I looked right over the term with me. Jesus is saying to the three disciples, I need you with me. I need you participating. I need your assistance. I need your tarrying. I need your praying. I need your watching. Oh my goodness. And so he said, what? Could you not watch with me? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Could you not? Could you not do that? And I looked at the wording up there of with me, the term with me. And it means together. Jesus is saying, tarry ye here and watch together with me. It not only means together, but it also means participation. Jesus is saying, I need you here in your place, participating in what I'm feeling and what I'm facing and what I'm fighting. Oh my. Watch this right here. I'm telling you, this ought to disturb, this ought to help us, this ought to challenge us. So if when Jesus, let me get you to where I'm wanting to get you to. So in verse number 38, when Jesus said to the three, tarry you here, and watch with me. And then he comes back in verse number 40 and he says, what? Could you not watch with me? Why, and the word watch, with me means to participate or together with. Jesus is saying, why did you become detached? Why did you become disconnected? Instead of with me, I was having to do it alone. I was having to pray alone. I was having to fight alone. I was having to bear the load alone. Amen. He said, why did you become disconnected? And that's what I want to preach on tonight, the Lord helping me and building the message on this passage of Scripture around the with me statement. Disciples disconnect from the divine. I wonder what Jesus is having to face alone, deal with alone, carry alone because of the disconnect of God's people. Amen. Listen to me. I want to focus our attention on those two words primarily. And to help us get an idea of what is meant by the with me part, The same identical word is used in verse number 36. Look what it says. Then cometh Jesus, same word now, with them. So let's be standing beside the road as they come up the road. And let's see what with them. Jesus cometh with them. That meant they were coming as a group. They were all moving together. They were on the same path. They were going in the same direction. They were together. They were a group. Amen. With a common goal, a common purpose, a common direction. So when Jesus said, watch with me, that's what it gives us the idea of. Jesus said, I want you to be included. I want you to be a part of what is taking place. To help us further in the Scripture tonight, to help us further see the weightiness of these words with me, I want to just direct your attention back to where my memory serves me correctly, it's the second time in the New Testament that this word, this Greek word that's translated with me, is used. And I want to reference Matthew chapter 1, verse 23, to let us see how important with me is. Listen to it. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, here it is, God with us. Now I want to ask you something. How important is that? Everything crumbles if God did not come into human flesh, incarnate in human flesh. Amen. But that's the same identical word. Jesus said to his disciples, tarry you here and watch with me. I want you to be with me just as much as I am, God in the flesh, with you. My goodness. That's awesome, isn't it? Luke chapter number 11. Listen, I'm just going to give two. There's lots of them. But I want to give you two. Not only Matthew 1:23 about God with us, but also I find in Luke 11:23, here's this coming from the very lips of the Son of God, he that is not with me, same words, same identical word, he that is not with me, finish it there, is against me. And he that gathereth not with me, again, scattereth. So when Jesus came to the disciples in verse 40 and said, what? Could you not watch with me? And Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Not only was Jesus battling enemies and opposition there in the garden of demonic activity and spiritual warfare, but I want to tell you, he was battling with the fact that his own disciples was not with him. His own special inner circle, Peter, James, and John. Jesus said, I want you to be with me. I want you to watch with me. But I come back after praying and I find that you have not watched with me. All right, let's look on. Let's look on. I want to point out, that was just an introduction. I want to point out three areas in this passage. I want to give you three things that the disciples were disconnected from the Savior. What three areas they were disconnected from the Savior. Jesus said, you are not with me. I wanted you to be with me. I asked you to be with me. Surely I deserve for you to be with me. I need you to be with me. And I'm going to tell you, he's not just telling that to Peter, James, and John. Jesus Christ is telling that to his church tonight. I need you. I don't need you to be pouting. I don't need you to be whining. I don't need you to be, reversing and going backwards. I don't need you to be slothful and lazy. I need you to be with me. I need you to be walking with me. I need you to be with me. Number one, if you're taking notes, and I trust that you are, the first area that I want to point out tonight, and I certainly need to move hastily on. Time is getting away from us. The first area is they were disconnected from the Savior's word. Oh, help me to preach. Amen, Lord. I'm feeling a touch now. They were disconnected with the Savior's word. Well, what word was it, preacher? Look, verse 38. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Now, let me say something right there I want to comment on lest I don't get to it later. If you'll notice, the reason Jesus said to them, tarry ye here and watch with me, the reason I need you is coming from the basis of how he's already suffering and sorrowing when he told them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. And as a result of that, and because of that, I'm saying to you, Peter and James and John, tarry here and watch with me. Man, I hope that rings a bell in our heart that we never in this life forget it. Amen. That was the Savior's word. Notice the punctuation there. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Period. He's making a statement there. He's making a command there. He's not giving a suggestion. And so when Jesus comes back approximately an hour or so later into verse number 40 and finds them asleep and finds them not watching with him, that showed him right there, you didn't listen to my word. You were disconnected to what my word said. Oh my goodness. Listen, I believe that our churches today, oh, I feel it tonight, our churches are in the mess they're in because of a disconnect to the words of Christ, to the word of God. He says do and we don't. He says don't and we do. But he comes back having given them a clear command, tarry here. He didn't say tarry here if you feel like it. He didn't say tarry here and watch with me if it's convenient. No, he said to do this. A clear word came. My goodness, this is helping me tonight. I'm telling you, I've been feeding on this. Amen. Listen. So he comes back and he said, you've not done it. You've not been doing it. I've asked you to do it. I told you to do it. I need you to watch with me. And I come back and you've in an hour's time. Listen to that. Listen. Just in 1 hour's time from the time he told them the command, he comes back with a question. What? What have you not watched with me? That shows how quickly they fell apart. They got a word, and it wasn't it clear? I mean, it don't even need any interpretation or nothing. It's very clear. Tarry ye here and watch with me. That's very plain, very clear. They got it. They understood. In an hour's time, approximately, Jesus had already come back to them and said, "What? Can you see the facial expression behind that word, what? What, comma? Could we somehow tonight get in our minds what Jesus was feeling? Could I give you some words probably? Disappointment. Peter, how could you? John, James, how could you? I need you. I ask you to watch with me. And in an hour's time, you've already dropped the ball and failed me." Are you listening? May God help us. They become disconnected with the Savior's word. Notice there was three things now that Jesus told them that to do, and they only succeeded in one. They failed in two areas and succeeded in one. Here's the three things, and I want to give them to you, and then I want to go back and hopefully put a little meat on it. The first part of the Savior's word that they were disconnected from is the statement, "Tarry ye here." Now, this is the one of the three that they actually did. He actually came back three times to the place where he first told them, "Tarry ye here," and guess what? They were still there. They were where they needed to be. In fact, let me just go ahead and deal with that while I'm on it. Tarry ye here. The word tarry means to stay put in a given place, state, or expectancy. Abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand. And they obeyed that word. They weren't disconnected with that word, were they? Boy, the Lord used that to speak to my heart. Tarry ye here. They were where they needed to be. They just wasn't what they needed to be. Some of you listen to me. You've got the where part. You're still where you're supposed to be. You're still in that Sunday school class. You're still in that home. You're still in that marriage. You're still wherever. Amen. You've got the where part. God led you to that place and said, "Tarry here," and you've been staying put, and you've abided there and continued there and endured there, and you're present there and remain there. I've been here 27 years. And I want to tell you, friend, sometimes it's been easy. But then sometimes it's been tough. In fact, it's just the grace of God that I lasted, that I made it. But I've had such a fear in my whole Christian life of getting out of the will of God. It terrifies me thinking I could get out of God's will. I want you to listen to this. They had that part down, didn't they? But before I go on to the second one, I want to show you something, buddy. The Lord, I mean, he had to show it to me or I'd have never seen it. He didn't just tell them, "Tarry here." But there is a silent something that they sinned in, an area of silence. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher?" When I first, God opened it in my mind and my heart and my eyes and let me see it. When he came back and found them sleeping, they weren't standing up. We find where Jesus told them to tarry here, but he never did tell them to sit down. He told the nine to sit down. But Peter, James, and John, he led them out further away from them, from the nine, and he got them in a specific spot there, and he said, "Tarry ye here." He never told them to sit down, but evidently they sat down. And here's what God gave me on that. Here's what God gave me on that. What does this say to us? This says that when you start adding comfort to commandments, you are headed for trouble. They did what Jesus didn't tell them to do. Amen. Listen to me. They started adding comfort to the commands of Jesus. The flesh is at work when that happens and will soon take over, as was the case in our text. Yes, we should pay attention to what Jesus does say, but as here illustrated, we should also pay attention to the silence of Jesus at what he is not saying. Sometimes there is a verse that will cover the do's and don'ts in your life. And if you have a verse, you don't need a voice. But many things you should not do just because Jesus did not tell you to do it. Get that. There are things in the Christian journey that you shouldn't do just because Jesus did not tell you to do it. Just because there's not a verse doesn't give you leeway to use liberty as occasion of the flesh, turn the grace of God into lasciviousness. Amen. God will never tell, Jesus never tells you to get out of church, never. Jesus doesn't tell people to pick up bad habits. Jesus don't ever tell you to marry the wrong person. You ought not to do certain things just because of the fact Jesus didn't tell you to do it. Boy, I'd love, you don't know how much I'd love to preach on that a little bit. So not only the first disconnect was, or the first commandment was, tarry ye here. Of course, I've already stated there, they were honorable in that. They stayed put. They were in the place where the God wanted to be. The second thing, the second word is watch with me. And if you'll notice in our text tonight, the book of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew's account of this, and also the Gospel according to Mark, his account of Gethsemane, both of them starts out with the only command given is watch. The first commandment given is watch. Not watch and pray, just watch. But then, when they failed to watch, both Matthew and Mark both adds watch and pray. As if to say, it's evident that you need to pray. Not just watch with me, you need to pray. And as a result, he adds the second one to watch with me. Watch with me. The word watch means to keep awake. Be vigilant, be watchful. Jesus is wanting his people to be awake. 1 Thessalonians 5 has some great verses on that in light of the coming of the Lord, that we, God's people, are children of the day and not of the night. We do not sleep as others. But I want you to note there he says, watch with me. And then the third one is where he adds prayer to it, watch and pray. So tarry here's the first, watch with me is the second, and now adding prayer to it. And the word prayer, pray means to pray to God, to supplicate, worship, pray earnestly, to pray for, to make prayer. So we find here, listen, I'm preaching about Jesus coming back and saying, I told you I needed you to be with me. I need you to be watching with me. I need you to be together with me. I need you to be participating, not doing it, not fighting the battle in my place, but I need your comfort. Listen, let me ask you again. If Jesus Christ did not need some support that he could get from James and John and Peter, then why did he take them there? And why did he come back to them three times? He was needing some support. He was needing some encouragement. He was needing some camaraderie that you're here with me. I'm in the thick of this. I'm in the hard. I'm dealing with this. I'm fighting this for you. But it just helps me to know that you're with me. Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, you can listen, I'm not painting Jesus out to be a weakling. I am painting him out to be a human, 100% human being, also with 100% God, both. He didn't need Peter, James, and John on the divine side. He was God manifest in the flesh. He needed Peter, James, and John on the human side. That same side of Christ that knew what it was to be thirsty. That same side of Christ that knew what it was to be tired and needing to sit down. That same human side of Jesus that was asleep on a pillow in a ship because he was tired. And so from the physical point of view, he comes to Peter, James, and John and he says to them, I need you. If you'll notice with me, I've already covered it, verse 38. When he said, here, tarry you here and watch with me, that's a command. But when he comes back in verse 40 and he said, what? Could you not watch with me? Notice that's a question. And when there's a question asked, that also brings about a choice. And watch this right here. So when Jesus said, what? Could you not? Get those words. What? Could you not? Watch with me. You know what that means? You could have. I told you to watch with me. I come back and the question is, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Meaning you could have done it. Listen, let me give you some help right here. Jesus never commands his people anything that he's not able to equip you and enable you to do it. When Jesus says don't, he'll give you the don't abilities. Amen. He tells you to do, he'll give you those do abilities. And so we find here in this passage that though these disciples were where they needed to be, they certainly was not what they needed to be. Let me give you this, and I'm hastening on. The enemy, the devil himself, does not mind as much of you being where you need to be. His problem is when you are what you need to be. Would you agree with me? Peter, James, and John was in the spot where Jesus told them to tarry. But they certainly was messed up in what they were supposed to be. And Jesus was not benefiting from it at all. Oh, let me give you something right there. When we, even though we might be where we need to be, if we're not what we're supposed to be, we're not benefiting Jesus. Actually, we're probably benefiting the devil. Because watch this right here. Hey, listen right here. If Jesus said, watch with me, meaning I want you together with me, participating with me. In other words, I'm going to get some help from you. Just the fact that you're here with me. Just the fact that you're joining in partnership. You're watching with me. And he comes back and says, you didn't watch with me. That means Jesus had to encounter whatever the load, the burden, the battle he was encountering without the help that he could have gotten. I wonder what Jesus is having to carry extra of and bear an extra burden because of the disconnect of his people. I want to preach just a second here. You may be in the church that you're supposed to be. You remember God told you to go. You remember God told you this is where I want you. You're where you're supposed to be. But I want to ask you along with the Holy Ghost tonight, are you where? Are you what you're supposed to be? Amen. Someone said only 10% of the people is carrying 90% of the load of the average church. What would happen if 100% of RBT would step up in these days and not only be where you're supposed to be, but be what you're supposed to be? I tell you what would happen. Revival would break out. Amen. Amen. No matter what position you hold, if you're singing a choir, lead singing, lead the youth choir, play the piano, play the organ, teach a Sunday school class, it does not matter. Listen, that may be your spot. That may be where God wants you to be. But I want to ask you, in that spot, are you what God wants you to be? And when you're not what you're supposed to be in your spot, and it can be said of me in my spot as pastor, when I'm not what I'm supposed to be, nobody benefits from it. Amen. One preacher down in North Carolina told this to me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I've noticed as a pastor now," and he's one of God's choice men, he's preached in his pulpit too, and he said this. He said, "I've noticed over the years of pastoring," he said, "when I'm not doing good, my church is not doing good." Hey, man. I could run just about it on that right there. Because I'm telling you that in these difficult days, these straining days, struggling days of all this mess going on, I'm going to tell you, instead of me, listen, just throwing the Bible study and everything down and just being laxed and lazy, I'm going to tell you I've turned it up a notch. In fact, several notches. I don't know how many hours that I've spent for this message that I am delivering to you tonight. Why? Because I realize that if I'm not doing good, my church is not doing good. So I can't make the choice for people, but I can make the choice for me. Let's hasten on. I could deal more with that. Number two, the second disconnect. Oh, this ought to tear us up. This ought to tear us up. Not only were they disconnected from the Savior's word, his word. Listen, oh, y'all have got to hear this. Y'all have got to hear this. You know, oh my goodness. Listen to this. I want you to get this. You know why they went to sleep? It's because sleep had a greater influence over them than what Jesus said to them. Woo! You know why a lot of people in church are dormant, amen, and slothful, sleeping. You know why? Instead of listening to God's word and heeding God's word, amen, the written form, the printed page, the preaching of it, you know why? Sleep means more to you. Leisure means more to you than what Jesus said. Oh my. I heard people there on the couch saying, "Ouch." I heard that. Amen. Amen. They were sleeping due to the weakness of the flesh. The flesh is weak, and as a result, that weakness was stronger to them than what Jesus said to them. All right, now I got to go on. I had to give you that. I about forgot. Number two, disconnected from the Savior's want. You can't read these verses without seeing Jesus was expressing his heart, his desire, his want. Amen. Of course, if you're disconnected with point one, the word of God, the word of the Savior, you certainly will be disconnected from the Savior's want. Listen to this. God, give this to me. What has happened to the Christianity that is interested in, desires, loves, and pursues that which Jesus wants? Well, that's a good statement, isn't it? What in the world, what has happened to the individual when they get saved, whether it's in a church altar or whether it's in your home or whether it's in the woods, wherever it is, what has happened to the people that get saved and they began immediately to pursue after because they desire it, they're interested in what pleases the Lord, what He wants. Amen. A church or Christian is in trouble when their first step is taken in a direction of disconnect from the divine want of Jesus. Amen. Now, I've already covered this, but I want to just briefly remind you that apparently Jesus wanted and needed his closest disciples to go with him into the garden. He evidently wanted and needed their companionship of closeness during this all-out battle with the forces of hell. Jesus wasn't asking them to take his place or fight hell for him, but only to watch and pray with him. My, my. May the Lord help us to get a hold of that, amen. The disciples were in the location they were supposed to be, but they were certainly not in the condition they were supposed to be. And you know what shows us that? When Jesus came back, he addressed two things. He addressed, number one, he addressed their sleep. Their eyes were heavy. So he addressed, first of all, your focus. Amen. The reason that you're not interested in my want is your eyes are closed. Listen, do you understand? Hey, come here. Do you understand that Peter, James, and John was close enough to watch Jesus during this battle and also close enough to hear Jesus moaning and praying and agonizing with God? And there's no indication that Peter, James, or John ever saw anything or heard anything that went on with Jesus Christ. You know why? Their condition was all about the flesh. They were asleep to the point they were so asleep that they not only couldn't see, that they not only, and they couldn't hear either. They didn't hear nothing. Now, let me give you this statement right here. Seeing and hearing has always been the target of the enemy, because the enemy knows that if you are looking at and listening to Jesus, that will affect your living for Jesus. If you're looking at and listening to Jesus, it's going to affect your living for Jesus. So that's why the devil is after your looking and your listening. Amen. Some of you listen to me, you are defeated tonight, not because of corona and because of this other mess going on. You're defeated because your eyes are closed. You don't have your focus on the Lord. Your vision is not in Jesus' direction. You're overcome with sorrow yourself. You're overcome with the circumstances of life, and it's affecting your looking. All you can see is this corona mess. All you can see is the economy. All you can see is a political party. All you can see is what's going to be next and what it's going to become of my 401k and all of these things. That's all you see. And you're missing what Jesus is doing. You're missing what Jesus has done. He's got your listening. Jesus is wanting to speak to you. My, no telling. Would you have loved, hey, come here. Would you have loved for Matthew or Mark or Luke to have recorded what John and Peter and James heard and saw? But you know why it's not in our Bible? They didn't see nothing and they didn't hear nothing. And it wasn't because of a location, it was because of a condition. Oh, help us, Lord. We are having a time tonight. So he comes back and he addresses them concerning their detachment, their disconnect from his want. I want this. The reason I'm asking you to watch with me is that I want this. Oh, listen, could we get that? Could everybody out there in the vast unseen audience and all of us in here, could we not get that tonight? The reason Jesus asks us to do things or not to do things is because he wants that. And if he wants it, does he not deserve it? Who are we to say, I don't care what you want, I'm going to do what I want. And that's what they did. You know why they went to sleep? That's because that's what they wanted. That's what their flesh wanted. It's a lot easier to sleep than it is to stand up and stay in your place, keep your eyes and ears on Jesus, and be a benefit to him. May God use this message tonight to stir our hearts to want to be a benefit to Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord have mercy. RBT's going to hear this again and whenever we do come back. Let me hasten on. I could say a lot more. Let me deal with the third one. This is not any easier. It's not no easier. It's not going to be no easier. They were disconnected from the Savior's word. Sleep had a greater influence on them than did what Jesus said to them. Sorrow had a greater influence to them than what Jesus said to them. Some of you are just like that. You've got a King James Bible. You've been raised in church. And you can't get excited at all about what Jesus says in His Word and what Jesus has said to you personally, because you're so overwhelmed with sorrow and depression and down in the dumps and why me and why now and will America ever bounce back and what's going to become of all of this mess. You've gotten to the point to where what Jesus said, hello now, I've been preaching 39 years. I've been pastoring here a little over 27 years. And I'm telling you, dear friend, I know people's like that. I watch them when I'm preaching God's word. They sit there like a dying calf in a hailstorm, amen. Not paying a bit more attention to what God's word is, the word that God has given them, to help Him. Because they're over, all they think about is how I'm treated and who don't like me and all of that immature nonsense. Number three, I got to get on with it. Some of you are getting done before me. Please stay with me. I'm telling you, if I've ever listen, I'm not saying this to be just be throwing words out. If I've ever preached a message from God in my 39 years of preaching, I am preaching it tonight. Lord have mercy. I'm not talking about you being disconnected from me. We're talking about Jesus identifying how He felt because Peter, James, and John was not watching with Him and praying with Him, helping Him share and bear the load. Not only were they disconnected from the Savior's word, they were disconnected from the Savior's want. Oh, wow, I'd love to preach some more on that. But third and last, they were disconnected from the Savior's woe, W-O-E, which means the grievous distress, affliction, and trouble. They were totally disconnected to what Jesus, think about that now. Completely disconnected to what Jesus was feeling. The hurting of Jesus. The unbearable anguish of Jesus. They were totally disconnected from that. Hey, before you turn that off, listen. When's the last time you got excited and God stirred your heart about the cross of Calvary? When's the last time you read about the Garden of Gethsemane and Jesus having in such anguish and sorrow, even to the point of death? I want to tell you, when's the last time you felt some of that? He's the head of the church, is that not right? He's the head of the church, we're the body of the church. The body feels what the head feels. When's the last time that you was close enough to Jesus Christ that you felt what He feels? Jesus told them of His woeful feelings by saying, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." Listen to this. The Savior was experiencing a sorrow of anguish and agony that it even was even unto death. You know what that means, even unto death? Even unto death is added to this description of the exceeding sorrow. Adam Clark, a commentator, said this, "My soul is so dissolved in sorrow, my spirit is filled with such agony and anguish that if speedy succor or help be not given to my body, death must be the speedy consequence. My personal definition of even unto death means that it was a deadly sorrow. And by the way, I'm going to be preaching on that at some point in the future. How to deal with a deadly sorrow. This was a sorrow that was so intense that only relief could come would be by death. He's telling his disciples who wouldn't even watch with him, "My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death." This sorrow is so intense that it almost feels like it could kill me. And by the way, you don't have to turn there. I wasn't going to reference it. But just let me give you this, what Luke's account said. Let me show you what caused him to get through. It wasn't Peter, James, and John. There wasn't no benefit that come from them. The Bible said in Luke's account in chapter 22, in verse 40, "And when he was at the place, he said unto them, Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou wilt be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Verse 43, "And there appeared an angel from heaven." Appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You know why Jesus didn't die in the garden? It wasn't his will to die in the garden. It wasn't God's plan and purpose to die in the garden. But I want to tell you why he made it. It surely wasn't because Peter, James, and John was with him. They were with him in location, but they were not with him in condition. You know why that Jesus Christ undertook that battle in the garden and survived and made it and walked out of there? It was because God sent an angel down there as a ministering spirit to strengthen Jesus. Now I want to ask you something. You can say whatever you want to say about it. Don't make no difference. It's not going to change my mind. If an angel of God was sent from heaven to strengthen Jesus Christ, that was because he was being overcome and overwhelmed with weakness. That's why he said, even unto death, this here is going to kill me if I don't get some help. And I can't help but believe. I can't help but believe in my spirit that that's why he took Peter, James, and John with him, to watch with him, to be with him, to be near him. Hey, man, come on now. Listen, Peter, James, and John, no indication whatsoever that they were praying. Jesus was close enough that they could hear Jesus pray if they hadn't been asleep. Jesus was close enough, he could have heard John and Peter and James pray had they been praying. They weren't praying. And watch this. Jesus gets up now after praying an hour and goes back to where Peter, James, and John is. Maybe because he couldn't hear them praying. He couldn't. And so he just gets up from praying for an hour and goes back to the place where Peter, James, and John were, and he finds them not doing what he said, but doing the complete opposite. Instead of standing, they're sitting. Instead of watching, they're asleep. And you know what Jesus did? He woke them up. I'm paraphrasing. He woke them up and challenged them again to watch and pray with him. He goes back again to the place of prayer and prays again, the Bible says, the same words. So that leads me to believe that it took another hour. So here Jesus is praying a second time. He's already given them a word a second time. He has awakened them back to reality of what he expects out of them. And guess what? He prays the second hour. He gets up. he goes back and catches them asleep again. How disappointing. How disappointing. How many times has Jesus needed our help, needed our assistance, needed our participation? But we was too busy thinking about all the sorrows. Amen. The Bible says there very plainly that those disciples, they were heavy. Mark's account, Luke's account, both talks about them being heavy, their eyes being heavy. Did you know how, you know, listen, you'd have to read Mark or Luke's account of this, but they were in such a sluggish, sleepy state that when Jesus came back and woke them up, I don't remember if it was the second time or the third time, they could not even formulate a thought. They couldn't even speak. Have you been that dead asleep before? We all have. People wake you up and you don't even know where you are. You don't even know where you are. You can't even process thought. That's how bad off they were. Every time they, and listen, hey, come here. There were three of them. Peter, James, and John, when they saw each other, they ought to have been accountable to each other. All three of them heard the same words from Jesus. All three of them, when one of them started getting sleepy, said, boy, I'm going to have to just sit down here. I need to sleep. And the other two ought to say, no. Remember what Jesus said. Listen to him praying down there. He needs us. He needs our support. He's dependent on us. But no, they all three, probably when one started getting sleepy, the other said, yeah, you know what, I am too. Man, I am too, Peter. Good night. I can't. No idea that just a rock's throw, just a stone's cast away, Jesus is encountering the worst fight, the worst battle of his life to this point. And they're up there, and what's on their mind? Fatigue. What's on Jesus' mind? A fight. Forgiveness, by paying the sin debt, going from there on, be arrested and falsely accused and being beaten and all of that and crucified. Well, let me hasten on. I'm almost done. Listen. Jesus asked the disciples, what was behind this? Why could you not? Or basically, why did you not? You could have, but you just didn't. Listen to what it did to the Savior. Their disconnect deepened the already deep sorrows of the Savior. Their sleeping added to the sufferings of Christ. Oh my goodness! When the Lord gave that to me, I almost fell off the bed. I was sitting on the side of the bed and he gave that to me. Jesus was encountering an anguish beyond description. And let me give you this to think about before we go. Each time Jesus came back, the intensity was shown. Here's how you see it. When he left them with the first command, the first charge, challenge, he goes and prays. You know what the Bible said he did? He knelt down. He comes back to them and he wakes them up and what are you asleep? Could you not watch with me and all of that? And he charges them to watch and pray. He goes back and guess what the Bible says he did? Not in Matthew's account, but in Mark or Luke says he fell on his face. And then we find him the third go round when he finally goes back a third time and prays. That's when his sweat became, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. Because of the stress and the anguish, he needed John. He never said it. But I could almost see him as he's praying. I could see him as he's so intently praying, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. Maybe just a split second of a thought. Oh, I wonder if John's praying for me. I wonder if John is watching for me. See, John was the closest of all disciples, and he was just as asleep as was Peter, and just as asleep as was James. Sleeping of the saints of God adds to the suffering of Christ. What added sorrow, burden, agony, pains does Jesus feel because of your or my disconnect with the Savior? I'm closing with this statement. And we're going to have Miss Caden to play something. But I feel like the Lord wants me to give an invitation. We've not done that yet on live stream. And I don't know if that's supposed to be or not, but God put that on my heart. We know the Savior is with us. But the question of the message and of the text tonight is, are you with Him? We know He's with us. And think of where you'd be if Jesus was not with you. How many times we've made the statement, I don't see how people make it without the Lord. Jesus is with us. Thank God for His ever-abiding presence. But that's not the question of the message tonight. The question of the message tonight is, are you with Him?